How do you decide on a wedding planning niche? Welcome. I'm Debbie Quain. You're listening to another episode of the WeddingsForALiving.com Frequently Asked Questions show. Wow, that was entirely too long. WeddingsForALiving.com provides you with free articles and tips about being a phenomenal wedding planner. This particular episode is another episode in the series of the Wedding Planner FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. I have to come up with a way more concise way of saying that, but I hope you get my gist. My goal is to answer a question that's frequently asked by the majority of people coming in as a new or an aspiring wedding planner. I got a question the other day, an email that said, do you answer random questions? I do, but I'm working through a list of the ones that come through over and over again. So once I've exhausted that list, then yes, absolutely. I'm happy to answer some other, I say random in a good way, but you know what I mean. So if you are interested in being a wedding planner and you've listened to some of my other episodes and read some of the articles on weddingsforliving.com, you may have heard me talk about selecting a niche, specializing, because I think this is really the key for us when we're new. So let's start by talking about what a niche is. So the dictionary defines a niche as a special area, a special alcove where you can put something on display. So think of like a little a trophy or a statue or something, and you put it in a little, I'm saying little, you put it in a corner or someplace where it's highlighted. And I'm thinking alcove sort of going in a recess. That's what I'm looking for in a wall. That's what a niche is, or a corner. So the thing is, when you get into business on your own, when you start your own business, I'm hoping you're doing something that you're passionate about. For some of us, that's a given. For others, maybe not so much. Some of us may not be thinking of passion, but more about money. But I feel if you've taken the time and energy to create a living that you are in control of, meaning the way that you're making money, why not do something you love? So my hope is that you're doing something that you're passionate about. So there are two ways you can go about this wedding planning thing as a business owner. You can be a generalist, where you do all kinds of weddings, soup to nuts. Or you can be a specialist, someone who just focuses on one area of the wedding. And I guess there's more than just two ways to do it, but just for comparison, generalist, specialist. So creating a niche for your business, whether you're into weddings or anything else, is nothing new. So I'll give you an example of a well-known niche. If you are an attorney and your job is to, of course, represent your clients, well, you could be a generalist serving all kinds of clients, or you could be someone that maybe specializes in patent law, for example. That would be a specialist. If you are a physician, you might be a GP, general practitioner, or you may be a specialist, OBGYN. Specializing, generalizing, two different ways to do that. And the thing is, a lot of us steer clear of specializing because we think it's going to limit us, we're going to make less money, and nothing could be further from the truth. Because using the example that I just gave you, let's talk, go with the high-paying falutin doctor one, the physician. Specialists in the medical field tend to make more money than generalists. And the reasoning is, when I need someone to look at something that's particular, someone who's only focusing on that area, my understanding or my hope is that, my belief is that this person really knows about this area. So for that, I'm willing to pay a bit more. I'm willing to pay a premium for that specialized knowledge. It's no different in the wedding business. If you are a specialist and you are offering a service that particular people, particular clients want, the reasoning is those clients are likely to pay you more money because you know that topic inside out. So why do we steer clear? Well, we think we're not going to get all the clients. We're going to lose out on business. But that's exactly what you want as a specialist, for the reason I just gave you, because you're going to make more money in the end. I don't always practice what I preach. For many, many years, and even to some point now, I feel that if I narrow down what I really want to do, which are high-end home weddings, not necessarily high-end, but weddings at home and weddings that happen very quickly with a quick turnaround. Part of me says, yes, that's what I want to focus on. And the other part says, oh my gosh, but what about all those weddings that are more detailed and more involved? I'd love to do some of those weddings. Well, there's still a way to do that. So, you know, just like you, I have my doubts, but the proof doesn't lie. Each time I focus and zone in, I have better results. How do you come up with a niche? And this was really the topic that I wanted to address. How do you come up with an area of wedding planning that makes sense to you? Well, I think a lot of us go about this the wrong way. We're looking at what's popular, we're looking at what's trending, and then we try to jump on that bandwagon. That may work to some extent, but remember what I said right at the beginning, my hope is that you're following your passion. You really want to start with you. An honest look at what you're passionate about, what you know, what is second nature to you, especially with regard to weddings, your background, your religion, your style. What do people associate with you? Are you more quirky? Are you more traditional? Are you more conservative? Because all of those things that I just described there, there's a fit and a need for you within the wedding industry if you are brave enough to hold up that sign and say, this is the kind of wedding that I specialize in. A lot of us say on one side, my mother says on one, out of one side of your mouth, that we're specialists. But when it comes down to it, for some reason, we hold back in proclaiming that. And as I've told you, I'm no different. I've hesitated. But when I brand it and say, this is what I want to do, instantly, and I'm not exaggerating here, instantly, I attract more attention. So look at the things that you were drawn to. And at this stage, while you're beginning to figure out your niche, your specialty, I don't want you to think about money. What's that you say, Debbie? I'm in business to make money. Yes, I know that. But I want you to focus on the side that you're just passionate about and forget about whether or not you can make money. We'll get to that. Start digging deep, and maybe not so deep, because when we start using money as the deciding factor, then we start losing part of where we need to be. So again, let's go with this whimsical, quirky personality that you have. And you also have a love for weddings. Well, then my guess is the traditional formal weddings may not be up your alley. You're more drawn to the quirky, whimsical, outside of the box kind of thing. What type of wedding blogs are you drawn to? What type of articles in weddings or non-wedding magazines jump out at you? Because that's saying something about the kind of wedding you should be working on and the kind of wedding you should be focusing on. When you take the money thing out of the equation, I think your eyes open up and you begin to see things that you were at first kind of shunning and pushing to the side. Because what we're looking at, I think, is we're looking at mainstream. We're seeing what The Knot and Brides Magazine and all those publications and media outlets are showing us, and we think we need to be part of that. I'm of the belief that if everyone's zigging, I'm zagging. I want to go the other way. Yeah, there are definitely some tried and true approaches out there, but in order for you to shine, in order for you to be passionate and, you know, completely ecstatic about the weddings you're planning, you have to be you. You have to be yourself. What I'm into, you may not be into, and vice versa. So take some time and go through a list of things that you're drawn to. I mentioned the ethnic or religious background. If you are Jewish, then I'm guessing that you know more about the Jewish faith. Not necessarily, though. Or maybe you're just fascinated and interested and therefore have above average knowledge about the Jewish faith. So, let me say this. You don't have to look like your client. Just because you're drawn to a certain type of style of wedding doesn't mean that that's the only thing for you. It's just what you're drawn to and what you're passionate about. For many years, I was fascinated by Orthodox Jews and their rites and their beliefs. That fascinates me. Even now, to a lesser extent, because I've just become way more busy, but I'm just fascinated by that. I'm not Jewish. But the first wedding I ever planned was a Jewish wedding. My fascination with the Jewish faith began before that. And I think something happens it's going to sound, for lack of a better term, a little artsy-fartsy here. When we open up our minds and we make the decision, or we just decide to zone in on a particular area, things begin to fall into place. Have you noticed that? It's almost like we command things to happen. We say, I don't know if that's God or a higher being or inner self. I don't know what that is. But something happens when we make the decision to focus in on a certain area. I'm also fascinated by Indian weddings. So when I think about things that I'd like to specialize in, that comes up. So we've got Jewish weddings, Indian weddings. I mentioned the home weddings, the fast weddings. The weddings are happening in 90 days or less. Fascinating to me. It takes a little more ingenuity because I've got to be ready with resources and so forth, but that's still fascinating for me. Those are niches that I'm drawn to without much thought. So you want to do the same thing for you within, you know, within weddings in your area. What makes sense for you? Not necessarily has to be what you're a part of, but what are you drawn to? Encore weddings, for a while I was fascinated about that. And it's okay to research, to brainstorm. That's what we're doing right now. We're not limiting ourselves. Go through lists and see, you know, what could you do? Encore weddings are weddings where someone, either one or usually both of the clients getting married have been married before, maybe a second or third, maybe even more times that they're getting married. And usually what happens in those instances, they want a wedding that's either A, different from the one they had before, or B, maybe a combination of A and B. B, smaller, more intimate. And usually, not always, usually though, with an encore wedding, you're dealing with clients who are older. So they're more settled, more set in their ways, know what they want, less about what everybody else wants and following trends, and more about them. So that may work out for you. Now, it doesn't mean because you're working with clients who tend to be older that you have to be, but if you are, that's fine too. And maybe that's appealing to your clients, because maybe someone who's getting married in their 50s can relate more to someone who's closer in age. Again, not a hard and fast rule, but just another way to look at things. A couple of months ago, I heard from a gentleman who said most of the wedding planners he comes across are female. Is there room for him? Yes, of course. Absolutely, there's room for you as a male wedding planner. What are you drawn to? It's no different. So, you know, get the blinders off and just start thinking with the open heart, open mind about the things that you love with regard to weddings. It doesn't even have to be weddings in the traditional, you know, the wedding itself. What about just doing weddings, all the events that surround weddings, bridal showers, bachelorette, bachelor parties, stag, hen party, depending on where you are in the world, what you refer to that as, the post brunch, all of the parties that celebrate a wedding, but not the actual wedding. Could you do that? That might work out perfectly for you. I bet you there aren't too many wedding planners that do that. Technically, I guess you're not a wedding planner, but you're in the wedding field and you are knowledgeable about weddings and you know what the different things that you can do that surround a wedding. So think about that. Once you've come up with a few niches, I mean, come up with two or three that you're drawn to, ask other people, what do you see me? I mean, what about me? When you think about me, what kind of event do you think of? Because sometimes we don't see it for ourselves. Sometimes we see it and we're just ignoring it at that moment. So ask others, those that are nearest and dearest to you, that will give you some honest feedback. Once you've narrowed it down, then you want to start seeing, well, are there other people that are drawn to the same things that I am? My guess is that you're not the only one. What you want to make sure, though, is that there are people in your area where you plan to set up shop, and I say shop with air quotes, where you want to set up your business, that there are others who feel the same way, or that you can reach the market. Maybe that's a better way for me to say it, right? Where you can reach those people that want the same kind of weddings that you are attracted to and that you're passionate about. So, you know, it's not rocket science. And when I hear from people saying, I don't know what niche, I don't think you're looking deep enough within yourself. If all else fails and you don't know what to do, don't let that stop you. For goodness sakes, don't let not having a niche be a reason for you not to move forward. You just want to be immersed and involved with weddings. I bring it up as in every occasion that I can. I believe day of wedding coordination is the ticket for a lot of us to get dip our toes in the wedding waters. Because when you're doing day of is where someone's already planned the event, but you're coming in on the tail end, you get to do more weddings. Because a lot more clients, potential clients understand the need to have someone there to be the manager on the wedding day, to be their eyes and ears on the wedding day. And just the mere fact that people get that, you'll book more business. The more weddings you're involved in, the more you'll get to see and find out about yourself, what you like doing and what you don't enjoy doing, and the styles of weddings that you're drawn to. It doesn't mean you have to be a day of wedding coordinator all your life. It just means that you're getting your foot in the door with hands-on experience. So you're not worrying about, well, I haven't planned any weddings, I haven't been involved, people aren't hiring me for full service. A lot more people will hire you for day of. And initially, you may not need to charge an arm and a leg for day of. Just cover your expenses for sure. If you have people helping you, which you really should, make sure you're covering their fee just so that you can get experience and you can get testimonials. The thing about weddings is that there's very little repeat business. So it's easier to sort of edge up your prices. Not always that easy, but it's easy to do that because you're not having people coming back. The thing is, when someone hires you, they'll tell their friends, well, I only paid X amount of dollars, and that can be your downside. So you want to make sure you let your potential clients know why there's a reduced fee and what, you know, it's so that you can make your mark in the area. Don't say that you're new to weddings. You just want to say you just want to make your mark in this area for weddings. That's just a sort of way to sort of a bit of semantics to sort of sidetrack the I'm new, so I'm charging less kind of thing. So get involved with weddings. The more weddings you're involved in, the more you'll get to see what you like and what you don't like. Another great way to find out what you want to do with regard to weddings is just to write and be involved with weddings. Thankfully, now you can create a blog for very little amount of money. If it's a self-hosted blog like on WordPress.org, you're just paying for hosting, which should be around the $10 mark each month, maybe less than that. And then to have a domain name that you own, which is around the $10, $12 mark, US dollars, that is, per year. That's not a whole lot. If you're creating a blog and writing, and the thing with the blog is, you know, what do I write about? As you learn, you share. So taking up the encore weddings, if you find when you talk to people who are planning weddings for the second or third time around, things that they want to include, like a lot of couples will include their children, involve children in the ceremony, then write about that. If couples who are having a wedding the second or third time around maybe aren't wearing dresses as flamboyant, they're different styles, or maybe the woman is wearing a pantsuit, blog about that. Once you're immersed and you're involved, you'll begin to see where your calling is and what you are drawn to. Pay attention to those things because that's sending you in the right direction of your wedding plan and niche. The list is endless, and you may come up with a niche that someone else hasn't even thought about. Maybe you combine. So maybe it's Jewish weddings, day of wedding coordinating. That's a combined niche right there. Maybe it's same-sex weddings, day of. You see, I keep coming back to day of because it's what I know. For sure. And I know firsthand how much easier it is to get involved in that type of wedding. And it makes you become a very sharp wedding planner. You're on your toes. You have no choice but to think on your feet when you're doing day off, because you're picking up where someone left off, and the pace is very quick. You've got to move pretty quickly, and you'll soon know if this wedding thing is for you or not. Your niche may not have anything to do with the actual type of wedding. It may be the location. If you're able to find a few venues in your area that you become very familiar with and make friends with the salesperson or owner of the venue, what happens is you let that person know that anyone that comes to do weddings at that location, have them call you, have them contact you. You can meet them at that location. Or maybe even, how about this? Why not offer to be the person that shows the space for a venue? Maybe for little to no compensation. What's going to happen is when you become familiar with a site, you have the wedding angle. The owner of that site may not have the wedding angle, but you do because you're involved and into weddings. So you offer anytime someone, you say to them, you know, when anytime someone's inquiring about a wedding, I'll be happy to show them the site because I know what's going on here. You've explained it to me. I've walked the site. I know what's involved. And just give them an angle with regard to how they can set up their wedding there. Maybe even as goes far as to say, anyone that books me as a planner, you know, I'll give you a finder's fee. Different ways, different angles. And just by being the renowned planner or the preferred planner, maybe that's the right term, at two or three venues, maybe just one or two venues. Hey, start with one. That becomes your niche. You'll become more involved, again, using that word, immersed in the wedding planning field in your area, and know what it is that you're drawn to and what parts that really get you up and go up and running, and other parts that kind of more, not so much. So the whole niche thing, I don't want you to lose a whole lot of sleep, but just commit to doing the first part, being open-minded about it, forget about the money aspect, but just focus on a few days as to what you're really drawn to. And it doesn't necessarily happen in one sitting. You may be reading something or looking at something on TV and think, wow, it may be a destination. I love the Caribbean, depending on where you're from. Planning weddings, maybe there are particular islands, certain islands that you're drawn to. You can become the person that's known as the destination wedding planner for that particular location. You don't necessarily have to live there. You just have to make contacts with the people there. And if it's a place that you're familiar with and love, my guess is that you're making a few trips there. Each time you make a trip, you commit to meeting with some of these vendors, florists, someone to provide food, the venues, and know that place inside out. Write about it, blog about it, do a podcast about it, shoot video about it. Pretty soon you become the specialist for that island. Make connections with the tourism board. Let them know that you're there to promote their island, their location, or that town, or whatever it is, whatever the vicinity is, as the wedding place. You're the person. Do you think they're not going to send business your way? It's going to happen. All because you've decided to focus and zone in. What this also means is that when you're ready to go full-fledged and run this as a business, whether part-time or full-time, when I say full-fledged, meaning you're involved into this particular niche, is it's going to be easier for you to find your potential clients because they're looking for one particular thing. You have that one particular thing. So each and everybody out there is not your potential client. You're just zoning in. So using that location as an example, where are people going when they're looking for a destination wedding? They're probably talking to a travel agent. They're probably contacting the tourism board. Hopefully you're making friends there. They're probably going online and doing a search for weddings in that area. And you can do more than just write about weddings. If you're focused on a particular area, you want to talk about the culture, you want to talk about the food, you want to talk about places to go, things for their guests to do when they arrive, talk about the airlines, which airlines are flying direct there now, what specials are going on. You become so involved with this location that you know it inside out, with the specialty being wedding still, but you've got to know the other bits and pieces. What would make a great welcome for your wedding guests? What's the best way to get from that airport to a different vicinity? Should it be a local taxi? Do you know a few people that do, you know, have their private cars and do the special runs? These are things that you want to be known for. And if you're blogging about it, writing about it, talking about it, it doesn't take a long period of time for you to become known as a specialist. What happens is once you become the specialist, remember I said at the beginning, you can charge more. You know the thing inside out. You know your stuff inside out. So you don't want to shy away. Focus on your niche and let everybody know this is what you do. Another great thing about being a specialist is that when you talk to people about what you do, marketing, so that they know what it is that you do, you're more confident in what you're talking about. But to them, the recipient, the person that's listening, you become way more interesting. You're not just a wedding planner. You're a wedding planner who focuses on people who want to get married in St. Martin. Or maybe you're the wedding planner who specializes in couples who want to get married in Barbados but are based here in the United States. You know it inside out. You know the residency requirements. You know we're great, you know, to find the ministers and so forth. When you say that to people, there's more interest in what it is that you're saying. You'll see that because they'll start to ask more questions or they'll lean in. Oh, Barbados. Wow. How is it that you, why Barbados? And what's it like in Barbados? Or what's the wedding requirements? How many weddings have you planned there? You instantly become more interesting to whomever's listening, whether it's a potential client, whether it's a friend or family member, or maybe it's the media. Once they realize that you're doing something that the other wedding planners are not doing, you stand out, and that's what you want. You don't want to be lost in the sea of wedding planners who are all doing full service, partial planning, and day of. And you know why we wedding planners do that? Because we see other wedding planners doing that. So we feel we need to do the same thing. We need to list those on our website, and we need to list everything that we do within those packages. And then we listen in about page about what we do, about how we got started, and our educational background, and our love for weddings. do something different. Do something different. Do you realize you can actually work on weddings without actually being there? You can be the consultant. So I'm going to go back to this destination thing, which is sounding better by the minute as I say it. If you have a Skype account, which you should do if you're doing destination weddings, right? You can consult with people. They can, you can charge a fee, a minimal fee, and for an hour and a half, they can get you on Skype and you'll prepare the call. You can share your desktop and show them some images and get involved with some of the other vendors and let them know who these folks are on the island, who's great, who's really quick, who's more expensive but does really good work and things like that. You can do that consulting without ever touching, without ever going to the island or the location or wherever. But you know it so well that you have information that you can share. If you have a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel or all of the above focusing on that one area, and you can create a page that says hire me or work with me, my bet is that someone's going to get in contact with you to hear what it is that you have to say. All the while you're becoming more immersed, and as you learn, you share. You become known as the wedding specialist for that place, making more money, having more fun, and standing out from all of the other plain, I'm going to say plain, I'm making it sound derogatory, that's not my intention, the generalists, all the general wedding planners in your area, because you're doing something different, doing something different. So focus on what you're passionate about, what you love, make sure there's enough of a demand for it. Do your research, ask questions, and sometimes the answers that you get, and don't speculate. Sometimes just the first one or two responses you get may not be positive. Don't stop there. You have to keep going. Because with a niche, you've got to figure out where people congregate for what it is that you offer. Where are they going? Which magazines are they reading? Are they reading the bridal magazines? Are they reading the travel magazines? Is it a combination of both? Are they going to certain associations? Are the associations that they're talking to have, do the associations have enough information about your location? Because if they don't, you are going to provide them with that information. I hope some of that information helps. It may not be specific enough for you, but the whole thing about a niche is really it's about you and what you were drawn to, and being bold enough and telling people that this is what I want, this is what I do with regard to weddings. Don't pick a niche because someone else has that niche. Don't pick a niche because everyone's doing it. If everyone's doing it, it's really not, is it really a niche? There's usually more than enough room for us to do this wedding thing no matter where you are. Even in a crowded market, or especially in a crowded market, by specializing, you're just going to stand out. That's just the way it works. Okay, so I'm curious as to what niche what your specialty is in weddings. Why don't you post that on the show page for today's episode, which I believe is weddingsforliving.com/390. Let me know what kind of niche you have. If you've had a niche and it hasn't been successful, or has been successful, do you have a niche and maybe bury it a little bit? Are you guilty of that? When someone asks you what you do, do you feel that does the verbal diarrhea kick in and you start saying all the different things that you do? And let me mention this too. Starting off with a niche is a good way for you to get attention. It doesn't mean that you're limited to only doing weddings in that niche. When you see a lot of celebrity wedding planners out there, the well-known wedding planners, they may not have a niche, but it's because they have a following now. They have a reputation. They've surpassed that stage. The same thing will happen to you with your niche. You'll get to a point where you become well known, and other people will say, well, we're not getting married at that location in Barbados, but we are planning a wedding and you seem to really know what it is that you're doing. Could we talk to you? Could you help us plan our wedding? Isn't that great? That's what will happen as you develop and grow your niche. In the beginning, you want to focus and forget about everything else outside of that niche. But as you grow, you'll see you'll begin to do more and more weddings that fall outside of your specialty, all the while still making more money and having lots of fun doing it. Okay, please share this resource with anyone else you know who is interested in being a phenomenal wedding planner. That's the whole point of what goes on here. If you have any questions, why don't you give me a call on the Listener Talkback line? The number to call is 202-681-2126. 202-681-2126. I'd love to hear whatever it is you have to say. Weddings for Living is also on iTunes, so you can check out the all podcast page, which is at weddingsforliving.com/iTunes. And the FAQ segment also has its own special page on iTunes. So if you go to weddingsforliving.com, you'll see the link for that. I'm Debbie Quain. You just listened to another episode of the weddingsforliving.com FAQ. Take care.
passionate about weddings, staying awake at night wondering if you could be a professional wedding planner? If you'd like to get paid to plan weddings, download Debbie's free audio class, 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know, and discover 7 insider secrets about what it takes to run your own successful wedding planning business. Go to weddingsforaliving.com today and get instant access to this information-packed audio class. It's yours free at weddingsforaliving.com. Go to weddingsforaliving.com now.
Visit weddingsforaliving.com.